fans, how you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. I don't know why I just said episode like that with the extra emphasis on the E. Jeff, I'm still high off of the gravy. I'm here with Jeff Johnson. Hello, Jeff. How are you? How was your turkey and assorted sides and other things that you consumed over the long weekend?
Oh, bro. This week, me and the gym are going to be close, intimate, personal friends.
I'm way ahead of you. I got there. I think Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Correctly. I went for a run on Saturday. We went to the gym on Sunday.
Nice. I simulated to the end of the month, bro. I just put it on the simulation. And then, you know, today it works out well that Sunday was the last day of the month and we roll into a new week and a new month. So got the whole 31 days. I try to go hard the last month of the year, all 31 trying to do something. So, I enjoyed it, bro. I overindulged. So I'll say that.
What does overindulgent mean to you? Because I have my own definitions of that.
Greed on a different level when it comes to food. Like I'm eating everything. I'm multiple plates, the entire assortment, a lot of snacks. I don't snack heavy like that. But like over the past 4 days, every cookie, every cake, every
you're my wife.
Pie.
That's great.
I was on it. Every drink, I was on it. So I allowed myself to enjoy myself through the end of the month. And now we get ready until we make that mad dash to the Christmas and New Year holiday season, all the end of the year holidays.
So I love sandwiches. Sandwiches other than pizza are probably my favorite food. And I just don't eat sandwiches that much anymore because because we are men of a certain age and you know, it's like we try to limit certain things. So when it's Christmas and I have that turkey in my fridge and I cook the damn turkey, so I get the leftovers. So to hell with anybody else. I'm going to continue eating the turkey sandwiches until the turkey has run out or until I no longer want to consume the turkey sandwiches anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad about it. It is once a year. And I don't eat a lot of sandwiches now. So
exactly.
You know, it is what it is. Well, it's good to see you again. We kind of took a little bit of time to breathe last week, but we're back on it. It's already the third month of NBA basketball. I know they've only been playing for like 6 weeks, but yeah. We started October and it's December. So we're going to get right to it as we do to start off every show with the takeoff.
2-1-0 ignition liftoff.
All right. My take is going to feed directly into what our topic is today, which is we're doing our second tiers. We're going to do tiers roughly once a month. So we did them in November and now we're doing them for December. A little bit of a different theme that we're going to get to in a few minutes. I think this is the most out of whack NBA season in terms of expectation versus current reality that we have seen, that I can remember. I'll just leave it at that. I cannot remember another year where so many teams, we don't really have to talk about it because we're about to get into it, where mm-hmm. so many teams are either vastly exceeding expectations or vastly falling short of expectation. That's my take to start the day.
Yeah, that was, I had something similar to that where if you are a parity advocate, you're looking like a genius right now with the beginning of this NBA season because it is mirroring the NFL. Like who are the Jaguars of this year's NBA team? Who are the Bears, right? What? Like there are certain teams that you're screaming, like who are the Chiefs? Who may look like they went from a title, either the world champions or
were
title contenders that now it's like, are you guys even going to make the playoffs? Like this is, I'll limit it to my memory as well. I can't remember a time, maybe since the 90s, where this early in the season, we have multiple teams that could claim a share of the contender pie.
I think it is that way because, and this is going to dovetail with something, and Sean's not here today, but something that he obviously has been making the rounds with this take, and he's talking about planting a flag. With the East being better than people are going to give it credit for, there's two ways to read that. The way a lot of people read it coming into the season was the East stinks and we shouldn't give it any credence at all. The other way to read it is what you're saying, which is that there are four or five legitimate teams in the Eastern Conference that can at least credibly say we can make the finals. And if you make the finals, then like, who knows what happens? Anything can happen. So I'm with you. I think there is a Chiefs of the NFL, which they don't have like the championship equity of the Chiefs, but we'll get to them in a little bit. So since we have to do 30 tiers and put them in, or 30 teams and put them into six tiers, I want to get right to it. So we have Naomi, one of our esteemed interns, backstage. She is going to put up our blank. They're blank right now. We have to fill them in. That's our task for today. Tiers for this episode. So, Jeff, I texted you this morning what the theme is.
Yep.
Are you comfortable with today's theme, which is Christmas movies? Before I take you through my logic in the six movies that I chose.
Yeah, I'm 100% comfortable. This is my bag right here.
Do you like Christmas movies?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Christmas movie enjoyer. Past, present, and future.
I like Christmas movies. I figured it was the thing to do because it's December 1st and it's like, you know, it's the season. Right. I would not say that I have a love of Christmas movies that some people do, which will maybe reflected in some of my choices for the movies that are going to be, you know, that our tiers are going to be based on. But let's get right into it. So Naomi, I'm going to pop up your screen onto the stage here. If that's cool. And here we go. Okay. So we have six tiers. We added a tier and there's a reason we added a tier, which I'm going to get to in a little bit. Yeah. We're going to start at the bottom, which is Surviving Christmas. This is our craptastic tier. I watched this movie starring James Gandolfini and Ben Affleck came out.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. What a time to be alive. We used to make things in this country. This movie came out like 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was. I watched this a year or two ago with my wife. It is the worst Christmas movie that I personally have sat through. So that's bringing up the rear for us. Next up is our Jingle All the Way tier, which is a Jingle All the Way, for those who don't know, is an Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas movie that came out 30 some odd years ago. That is a bad movie, but it is just kitschy enough to like, you can sit there and you could watch the thing. And it's Arnold being ridiculous. So this is like teams that if you're a team that has something going for it, you're going in the jingle tier. Next up is Christmas with the Cranks. Jeff, have you seen this film?
I've heard about it. I do not believe I've seen it.
Okay. You're not missing out. This is what in my mind is the most thoroughly mediocre Christmas movie that is out there. It stars Tim Allen and I think Jamie Lee Curtis. I saw it once. My wife very much enjoys this movie, but my wife also will sit there and watch any dreck on the Hallmark Channel. This is her favorite time of year. It doesn't matter. The quality quite literally means nothing to my wife. If it is a Christmas movie and it is on TV, she will watch it. So she loves this movie. I think it's like fine. So this is our kind of middling tier. And now here's where we're going to get interesting. Third from the bottom is Die Hard. Now, is Die Hard arguably the best film on this list? Arguably, it is. Is it a Christmas movie? That is where the debate comes in. And that's why I thought it was appropriate to put Die Hard third from the bottom, because we're going to put teams in here that are good. We like these teams. They have good stuff going for them, but are they a contender? And there's a big question as to whether or not they are a contender. So before we move on, I will just ask you, is Die Hard a Christmas movie to you?
1,000%.
Okay.
You see Christmas in the movie. It's a movie. It's a Christmas movie.
That's such a basic definition, and yet I can't. How can I argue against it?
It's Christmas time in the movie, right? Like,
it is Christmas time in the. It comes down to whether Christmas is an essential plot point of the movie, and yet it kind of is.
I don't know if John McClane would have been around to save if it wasn't Christmas. Maybe he would have been on another mission.
another mission. He's G.I. Joe.
Right.
No, that's appropriate because you're the optimist. And so you're going to look at these teams like, hey, maybe they're contenders. I'm the pessimist and I'm going to be more skeptical. Second tier from the bottom is my favorite Christmas movie, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And we're going to put our nominal contenders in this tier. And then I have added a new tier. It's the Home Alone tier. Home Alone, I would argue, is the perfect Christmas movie. It's not, is it my favorite Christmas movie? No, but it is the perfect Christmas movie. And so I think we'll talk about it when the time comes. This is a tier reserved for a perfect basketball team or maybe teams. We'll see when we get there. Jeff, are you ready to begin?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I have grouped the teams, which again, if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter, you could see this. And I'll also say, if you are watching on Twitter, or for that matter, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the NBA Takedown Podcast, wherever you get your pods, or follow, I guess, would be the appropriate lineage. And if you're watching on Twitter, go head over to YouTube and subscribe on there. That stuff helps us out. Okay.
Hey, John, one quick production note.
Yes.
Can we expand the screen? Because we're giving Adobe and all of these offshore betting accounts wild promo for no reason. If not, it's fine, but they need to cut a check.
Let's see if they... Oh, wait. Naomi, oh, look at her. This is the best. Okay.
Good job. Thank you, Naomi. Appreciate you.
Not that we don't love the offshore betting.
Right, right. Really? I don't have pounds or euros, bro. Like, I'm not doing it.
What's the... A pound is in England, right?
Yeah. Pound okay. is in England. Europe is euro is all of Europe.
I know that.
I think it goes pound, Europe, euro, dollar. The dollar overtook the euro for a little bit, but pound is usually like 1.25 of a dollar or something like that.
Are rubles still a thing in like Eastern Europe?
I you got to ask Putin, bro. I don't know.
That's a great question. You know what? Next episode of NBA Takedown, we'll take on the ruble. Okay. Good production note. Let's get started.
Sheesh.
What? Wait, what's that?
I said the pound is now 1.32 of the dollar. So in true Christmas fashion, if you see some of our brothers and sisters from the UK over here, you just know they're running it up in every store, especially in New York.
This is great content. I love this. This can I just tell you, I was always good at math in school. I promise you, it's not a lie. I was always good at math. The conversion rate stuff, like you saying the pound, what did you say? Like the pound is 1.3. It will take me several minutes to compute which of those things is more valuable.
It happens like that. It's a 50-50 shot. So,
well, yes, but you know, I don't know if that's encouraging. Okay. I have grouped the teams here in order of net rating. But of course, it'd be boring if we just did tiers based on net rating. So we're going to go through each team one by one, starting with a team that is currently making a run. It's early. It's early. But they are making a run at being the worst team of all time on multiple fronts, and that is the Washington Wizards, who currently sport a negative 14.6 net rating. The record is held by the 92-93 Mavs at minus 15.2. So they're in range, and based on their current pace, they're on a 9-73 pace, which would tie the 72-73 Sixers for the worst record of an 82-game season. The early aughts Bobcats were worse by percentage. Jeff, we don't have a tier just for them. If we did, do you think there would be an argument to put the Wizards in their own tier at the bottom?
Based on the historic net rating, I'd say you'd have an argument, but I would just argue if you're in the bad tier, it doesn't matter how bad you are. You've already hit a threshold of bad to where you need company. You all need to be collectively shamed at some point to rise up in the tiers.
I'm with you. I don't think that for as bad as they have been, and like the numbers are pretty clear that they've been atrocious. I don't like there's these other bad teams do not deserve to be in like if you're in the sub basement, like they should be in the sub basement with you. They do not get to go right to the basement just because you are in the sub basement. All right.
And to be fair, they're bad, but they have good players, if that makes sense. Like they have promising players. And the the authenticity of their futility is one thing that I would put as like a asterisk, right? Because like those 90s Mavs teams, and I'm old enough to remember, those 90s Mavs teams were horrible. Horrible.
But they had some good players.
They had some good players. Like Derek Harper, he's one of the reasons why the Knicks were able to trade for Derek Harper for that run. Also, yeah, with Doc blowing his ACL because he was a good player on a horrible Mavs team. But they were a horrible team with good players. So I say all of that to say all of them teams that are in the surviving tier need to just be there together and commiserate.
Here's the best thing I could say for Wizards fans. The terrible mid-90s Mavs teams had Jason Kidd, Jim Jackson, and Jamal Mashburn, who all went on to, I mean, Jason Kidd, obviously, is top 75 player. Jim Jackson, really good NBA player. Jamal Mashburn, obviously, Knicks fans who are of a certain age know what he did. Like, keep hope alive. There are good players on this Wizards roster. Sar is having a really nice year. They just need that one piece to kind of put it all together. Okay, but more than enough time on the Wizards, who will go in the bottom tier. I'm going to rattle off the next few. Indiana, Brooklyn, and let's just stick with Indiana, Brooklyn. I think those are both pretty comfortably in the bottom tier. Who's the next team that should go in this bottom tier? Because I have a nominee.
Pelicans.
Okay, so the Pelicans lost by a bunch of points to the Lakers last night. I tried to watch as much of that game as possible. They sat everyone, so the Hornets are already very much in tanking mode. I'm with you that they belong in this tier, so we could put the Pelicans in this tier. My question for you, though, if you're Joe Dumars, and I am thankful for you because you're my friend, that you're not, although you'd be well compensated. Would you want to be Joe Dumars?
No.
You would not want to be Joe Dumars. Mm-mm. Not worth.
No, it's not. Yeah, exactly. You know, all money ain't good money. You know what I mean?
Would you lean completely into like 35 minutes for Derek Queen, 35 minutes for Fears? I mean, those are really the two young studs, but like those are the two young studs from this draft that they made this trade to get. Or would you still be trying to chase wins because of what you gave up and because of how bad that might look?
I think you got to chase wins because of that draft pick. You have to. They gave so up depressing. That draft pick.
Isn't that depressing if you're a Pelicans fan? Yeah. You did the thing already.
You gotta try to ensure that you make that draft pick as bad as possible so that you don't have as much remorse later on. Also, it behooves you to be good or try to be as good as you could be so that you could be sellers at the trade deadline and try to get one of them number one picks back.
Well, that's an interesting, I mean, they're not getting it. What would I want to hear those trade negotiations between Joe Dumars and I forget who's running the Hawks right now. I know it's not Landry Fields anymore. Like if Joe calls them up like, hey, what would it take? You guys want Zion? You're interested in Zion? Trey Murphy? Like, cause the Hawks are good. Like and that pick arguably would have more value to the Pelicans than any other NBA team, would it not?
1,000%. 1,000%. So you gotta see if you can. I mean,
Murphy. The pick for Murphy.
Murphy for Trey? And you lead all into Super Wings?
Yeah, you're sending Murphy to Atlanta, so now they could pair Murphy with Jalen Johnson, and then Atlanta sends back. I don't know that they have the requisite salary to equal Murphy's salary, so that would be where maybe the deal falls apart. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm fascinated by that. Okay, I would like to nominate the Sacramento Kings, who's little sticker I don't see on the screen. Naomi, if you could find Sacramento, they're there somewhere. I don't know where they are. You might have to scroll down a little bit. Oh my God, did Sacramento get booted from the because I actually don't even. Oh no, there they are. They're next to the Clippers. They're the funky little purple logo. Okay, I would like to nominate Sacramento, who are tied with the Pelicans for the third worst net rating in basketball. It was so funny. I was watching them like a week and change ago after they beat the Wolves for their second win in a row. It was a nice win. It was a solid win. And their record was whatever it was. It still wasn't a good record. But their announcers were like trying to like talk up the team. Like, man, I know what people are saying, but this team isn't quit. Blah, blah, blah. Since then, they've lost to the Suns, the Jazz, and last night in a rather dispiriting loss to the Grizzlies. Jeff, this team has somehow beaten the Nuggets, the Wolves, the Warriors, and the Bucks with Giannis. Are they good bad team.
Yeah. You know what? It's confounding only because they could mess around and go on a little streak and get right back in the mix, or they could go the other way and be in full blow up mode. It's just, they have the capacity to beat anyone on any given night, but they don't have the consistency to do so.
They're not going to, like, Vivek is not going to blow it up. You know he's not going to blow it up.
I know he's not. That's why I'm like.
They're 3.5 games out of the 10th seed right now. He could talk himself into that. I think he could talk himself into making a run here. Might they be buyers at the deadline? That's my bigger question.
I mean, I feel like the Kings are forever buyers because they don't want to tank. Like they're forever buyers.
Even
when they should sell, they will go into debt just for the sake of owning things and having possessions.
I mean, possessions are nice. Russell was, yeah. You know, they like Russ, right? They're happy with Russ.
A 238 win percentage is not.
Is that not what you want? All right.
But how? Oh, that's crazy.
How?
Because I'm looking at the standings and I'm like, why are the Pelicans over them?
Oh, no, the Pelicans are below them in the standings.
Oh, I must be looking at something.
Yeah, no, the Pelicans are below them in the standings at 3-18. So, no, the Kings have a little work to do to get down there to New Orleans division.
My sight is a little wonky.
Let's put a couple more. I think a few more teams have to go in here. I would offer to you that the Hornets, the Jazz, and I do have to say, the Los Angeles Clippers. Those would be my last three teams in here.
Well, any team with the name Nets in it got to be in that tier. That's first off. If you have Nets in your name, you are in the surviving tier. That's first off. Like, boy. Yo, what was up with Keontae George last night?
Yeah, so he had a rough one.
That's a bad game.
I don't want to harp on that too much because he's had a really nice year. And honestly, out of all the teams that we have here right now, the Jazz are the team I feel actually worst about putting in here. And I'm actually wondering, should they be in the tier above? Because they have been very watchable. They have a player who is very watchable, Lauri Markkanen, and George. I know he was terrible last night, but George has been good.
That was an outlier compared to what he's been doing this season. It's just like, boy, when you out of it, you out of it. Sometimes coaches got to save you from yourself and just like, yo, he don't got it tonight. His head ain't in it. Like we got to sit him. But yeah, you know what? I would hear an argument because they are in 11th place in the Western Conference.
They are. Probably against like, the Witches.
What is it? They're a game pretty much out of a game in the loss column out of the play-in.
I don't think that
they've
been
terrible, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think they've been like that terrible. I mean, their net rating is nasty. Yes.
So that's the thing is like you think Utah, and we've mentioned them a few times on the show, and like, yeah, they're a foot offense. They're going to put up like 140 on any night. And then you look at them and they're like 24th in offense. So
right.
I don't know that we could justify really putting them. It feels like it would be like we're trying to make a, make something happen, make right. fetch happen.
Right. Know? Like if you said like, hey, yo, they got to be in there, then I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Like you are what your record says that you are. And point differential, while it isn't everything, it's something, right? It's a good indicator of,
yes.
hey, are you beating your opponents? Like, are you playing a bunch of close games and just eking it out? Are you dominating or are you getting dominated? So
yeah.
it's like you look at them. They are the quintessential good players, bad team. Because they have players who in a vacuum, you're like, oh, they're nice. But then when you look at the team stinks. So is it because of those players? Is it just bad luck? Is it the cohesion of the team? But you could at least squint and see, hey, they might be mediocre enough to sneak into the playoffs.
I would say less that they are good player, bad team. I would say that they are great player plus interesting players equals bad team. I think that's what the Jazz are. Speaking like of teams that your record is what you say you are, the Los Angeles Clippers now have lost 13 of 15 games. Their only wins in that span have come against the Hornets and the Dallas Mavericks. Their next five, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
five-game road trip, Miami, Atlanta, Memphis, who we're going to get to in a minute, notably not in this tier, Minnesota, and Houston. Here's the scariest part. Kawhi and James Harden have been awesome individually, and yet this team is still getting outscored by almost 5 points for 100 possessions when they are on the floor together. Because they just cannot defend anyone. There's no good defense ever put on the floor by the Clippers anymore, which is kind of an astounding thing to say, given how they've been the last few years.
That's pretty wild.
Hornets, congrats. You've won two in a row. It does not get you out of this tier. I will wait until Sean is here on Wednesday to have this week's. Look, we got to get a sponsor for our weekly LaMelo Ball conversation. But I'm a hold off on that until Sean gets back. Anybody else in this tier? Dallas. Should Dallas be in this tier?
I was just about to bring them up, like just looking at the records and whatnot. Like they're 6-13.
They are.
I'm sorry. They're 6-15. The Jazz are 6-13. So it's like, are we just putting the bottom five in each conference? Well, we're not in the East, but bottom five in each conference in there.
So here are the Mavs wins this season. The Indiana. So actually they started the season. They beat the Raptors early on. Since then, Indiana, Washington, Portland, good win, or decent win, New Orleans, and the Clippers. Yeah, the Mavs are going in this tier. Okay. Sorry, Naomi. We're overworking you already. So how many teams we got in here? Washington, Indiana, Nets, Pels, Kings, Hornets, Jazz, Clippers, Mavs. Holy shit, there's a lot of crap in the league right now.
And in the Western Conference, the vaunted Western Conference.
One, two, three.
All that glitters four, isn't five. Gold when you're in the land of sun and one season year round. I'm just saying.
you are just saying correctly.
I'm Man. Just saying. Like, listen. The East and the West have gone head to head this year. The East has 36 wins. The West has 40 wins.
That's essentially dead even. That's a rounding error.
Listen, man, I try to tell y'all. I try to tell y'all like there's a separation. There's a separation happening right now, and that gap is starting to close. I saw it closing last season, albeit outside of the narratives and whatnot, but yeah, at least early on, there's a lot of. I think they got the majority of best players in the league on that side of the conference. Team wise, it's a different story, and that's one of the stories of this season.
Hold on.
The expectations versus reality of the Eastern Conference are looking like stark from what we thought in the beginning.
I'm gonna ask a stupid question because we've talked about All-Star several times already on the show this year. Do conferences still matter for All-Star?
Yeah. Yeah, they do it by conference. It's not just the best 24 in the league. It's 12.
No, but with
12.
the with the international thing. So like I'm
gonna it's 12-12. If they play in the East State, they're getting they're gonna be Eastern All-Star versus a Western All-Star.
Okay. I have to see how, because I'm sure when I fill out my ballot, I am still going to fill out 5 East, 5 West. So I guess in that sense, but based on the whole international versus two domestic, I don't know if domestic is what they're calling, whatever. Like, it feels like there might be an imbalance.
The imbalance is going to be after they select the 24. Because ideally, you would want 8 international guys. And
16 and 18, Americans.
Whatever Americans. But if there's an imbalance there, then Adam Silver is going to have to select those international stars. That's where it gets interesting, because which conference are you going to select from? Who are you going to pick? That's where it's going to get interesting.
At some point on the show, we'll just... I think we do need to do All-Stars irrespective. Like we have to do like different versions of the All-Star team, irrespective of conference, irrespective of the international thing, and see how different the teams look. Okay, let's move on to the jingle tier. Shout out to the most important screen actor of my lifetime, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sticking with the trend, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
The two teams I'm going to nominate off the bat for this tier both play in the West. I think Portland and Memphis both have to go in this tier, which is like you're not atrocious, but you're not good either. Thoughts on them?
All right, so Memphis is 9-12, get it 3 games away from 500. Portland, they feel like they are way better than what their record is.
So
they feel like they are way better. Like the perception of Portland is greater and more favorable than their actual record. That's fascinating to me.
So Portland is 8-12. They have a negative 2.5 net rating, which puts them 19th in the league. They have a 19th ranked offense and a 22nd ranked defense. So there is quite literally nothing about their statistical profile which screams that they are anything other than a team that is trying hard to get to mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they are responsible for the Oklahoma City Thunder's only loss. And then in their game last night, I don't even know what the final score was. I had that game on my television for most of the night. And that was a real game. That was a real game until the fourth quarter and the Thunder pulled away, which is why my comp for the Blazers is your buddy in high school that like had that one smoking hot girlfriend for a hot minute and then could not get a date to save his life for the rest of his 4 years he was in high school. But because of that one month where he was dating, you know, Ashley, pick a name out of a hat. Everybody was like, man, he's got something going on, right? Because how else would he have been able to do that?
Right.
And I just,
He has the ability, but we haven't seen it consistently, but we know he can.
It's in there.
He can win on the highest level. So, yeah, I like it.
It's totally not autobiographical at all.
Right.
All right. Anything else I want to say about Grizzlies? Quick shout out to the Grizzlies. 5 of 6, they've won. Zach Edey had his best game as a pro last night, 32-17. Of course, the Kings had no one who could guard him. He has a plus 37.1 on off, according to Kenny Glass. That's best in the league. He's only played a little bit more than 200 minutes. Jeff, again, I feel bad because we've had a lot of these conversations already, but these conversations are not going away.
Mm-hmm.
The Ja Morant, like, he has not been here for any of this. And they have turned their season around. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. If you're Memphis's front office, if you're a Memphis fan, if you're another team thinking about trading for Ja Morant, I just don't know what you're supposed to do with that. And I find it very interesting. And they are a fascinating team because they have the track record the last few years of a team that could put it together and make real hay in the league. And yet they have this thing hanging over their head. So I don't know.
Right. I think the story I don't even think is that they're better with him over those last six games, better without him over those last six games. I think the story is there's been consistently excellent play from them over the course of the last few years.
Yes,
without
absolutely.
Him being on the court. When they had Bane, when they had Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson, and he was out. It was a whole story before that. Oh, they're able to maintain while he's out. They have enough depth and they have enough good players to be able to continue to winning ways. Like, I think that year that Memphis won 50 or 50 plus, he was out for a good portion of the season, and they were able to keep the train on the tracks. So they're still able to do that. So there's a part of the organization where they could ignore it and just say, well, we've built teams that can sustain without Ja. Now the question with all this other stuff that starts to arise, he's getting into it with Klay Thompson. He's frustrated and dispirited with the offense and with his team and with his coaches. At what point do you say, yo, we can win without him? And we've proven that we can win without him. Do we want to deal with this anymore? And Ja, do you want to deal with them anymore? Maybe you sell high, get, and then have a whole greater than the sum of their parts type squad, you know? But it's still ill for me to think about the guy that I saw from Murray State in the, and I went to that opening round tournament in Connecticut, where he, as a whatever, the double-digit seed, knocked off whoever the team. I think it was Vanderbilt or somebody. And I remember coming from that team, and I started texting Knicks fan friends and hitting people up like, yo, I know everybody wants Zion, but I would not be crying or sad at all if they got the number two pick and they picked this guy. That's how high I was on Morant all those years ago. So to see it come to this now is startling to me.
It is. They are at an organizational crossroads, because I completely agree with you that there has to be a temptation to sell. It's, here's the thing though. It's not selling high, right? Because what are you really going to, like, I mean, look, the Kings exist, so never say never, but like, what team is giving you like the full, like the, what you would have gotten if you had put Ja on the market 2 years ago, for instance, you know,
right. I don't know if you're getting that, but no. You might get somebody. I mean, there's teams that still out there that need a point guard for better or for worse. I'm looking at the Great White North in Minnesota.
Oh, but I just, why we got to throw Julius in fake? Julius has done nothing to you this season, Jeff. Why are we throwing him in?
I wasn't
to put
even
him?
Thinking about Julius to get go to Memphis. I don't know who it would be, but I guess that's what the narrative is building with him. Again, another year where he's all-star level production, and all anybody can talk about is, well, you got to sell high. You know, it's like, is Julius a Maybach or is he a Rolex to y'all? You know, because it's like, ooh, you selling high. You keep talking about selling high, but at some point he's appreciating in value, is he not? Or are you thinking about him like a car that depreciates? I don't know. I haven't seen depreciation. I've seen consistent progress. He feels more like a Rolex to me than a Rolls Royce.
No, he's gotten better. This is, you could argue that this is the best season of his career. And I say that having witnessed literally a two second team or one second team All-NBA campaign, third team All-NBA campaign. I bring up Julius because I don't think that they could trade Rudy, and they need to send out a certain amount of money, and they're not going to trade McDaniels either. So like, who's the guy that's going to go? It's going to be Julius. But no, I think let's leave Julius alone. Okay, we got to move on, because we're taking way too long on these crappy teams. The Bulls, how the mighty have fallen. They're giving up over 119 points per game, per 100 possessions, excuse me, in November. We got our first truly meaty Anthony Davis to the Bulls rumor. That feels like a matter of when, if not if, at this point, that the Bulls are going to make a grand acquisition of the hometown kid, Anthony Davis, which would be, I mean, is there a more ill-fated trade that you could imagine this NBA season than the Bulls trading for Anthony Davis?
I mean, at this point, what do they have to lose?
That, if they, okay, if your fan base, imagine if Karnisovas, I almost got his name wrong, got it right, came out and was
I
like,
I thought you were gonna call him Lou Karnisek. I was like, Lou Karnisek is the GM of the Bulls. Where the hell am I?
You know what? Lou Karnisek is, I don't even know. Is Lou Karnisek, I just feel bad. Is he still around?
I think he is. Okay.
Look that up.
He passed almost a year ago today.
Okay. So rest in peace, Lou Karnisek. I think the Bulls would still rather have him being general manager of their team than Arturas Karnisovas. If Arturas Karnisovas or the exhumed body of Lou came out and was like, what have we got to lose in the press conference after the trade? That would only be slightly better than whatever Nico Harrison said after he traded Luka Doncic to the fucking Lakers.
And that's where the Bulls fans are back to square one with, we told y'all when they were 5-0, talk to us later on in the year. And we're not even later on in the year. We're later on in the calendar year. We're not even later on the NBA year. And they've already secured their 10th seed. They have reservations for the 10th and the 9th seed every year in the NBA play-ins are standing reservations. It's hilarious. No matter what happens, they have standing reservations. So to your point, John, if the direction of the franchise is just to say, yo, we're going to tread water. That's where I come from. You might as well. I wouldn't trade away assets like picks and stuff like that. But if you could find a way to keep your stuff while getting him, for that team, for their strategy, I get it.
The Bulls are Henry Hill in Goodfellas. They will come and bring the table. Like, it don't matter if the table is there right now or if it's in the back. They will bring out the table for you, set it up. They have instead of reserved, it says play-in right there every year. You walk in, it's like, oh, excuse me, Mr. I was going to say Mr. Levine, Mr. Mr. Giddy, Mr. White. Who else is going to Mr. Vooch? We got it all set up for you right here. Come on down. Okay. So let's put the Bulls in this tier. And then Bucks are, I don't want to do the Bucks like this. I don't think the Bucks should be in this tier.
No. Because I mean, we say all of that about the Bucks and what are they currently 11th?
So let's talk about this will be our trip. So only three teams in this tier. I'm cool with that. Bulls, Grizzlies, the Blazers. Next tier up is the Cranks tier, the thoroughly mediocre tier. To me, this is where the Bucks belong because with Giannis Antetokounmpo, they are 8-7. They're 0-5 without him. The Bucks thing is, with Giannis on the court, they're outscoring teams by 9.5 points per 100 possessions, which would rank for the year just behind the Denver Nuggets overall net rating. So that's obviously outstanding. Without Giannis, they are getting smoked by 11.5 points per 100 possessions. That would rank just in between the Nets and the Wizards for the second to last spot in the league. According to Cleaning the Glass, he has the highest on-off differential of any star player in the league. He has moved ahead of Jokic. So, like, the Bucks might have the most valuable player in the league on their roster, and they are still thoroughly mediocre. So
that's why he's most valuable, because you remove him, and they might be in the surviving tier. They would be in the surviving tier.
And that is why, if I was a Bucks fan talking about appreciating or depreciating in value, can you get anything for a Giannis Antetokounmpo Bucks jersey right now? What before those?
Man, oh man. Let me tell you something. That man was born in the fires of European football. He is pissed they missed that cup. I can tell you that much. For the money, for the prestige, for fans that grow up watching soccer and know that all the cups, all of them tournaments, they have their own intrinsic value. Like, I'm just saying, man, he put that team on notice. This is going to be a through line for the course of the season. It's going to be a storyline to watch.
There should be, what's the account? Bucks Film Room. They should change. They should change their avatar or whatever it is on Twitter just to a ticking clock. because that's all this season is for Milwaukee. Okay. Other teams in the Cranks tier, I would offer to you the Philadelphia 76ers, who are 10 and 9. Yeah.
Agreed.
Agreed with them. And I think we have to go out west. So the Phoenix Suns are 12 and 9, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
They have lost three of their last four. Those three losses have come to the three best teams of basketball, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Nuggets. I don't know who the Suns pissed off in the NBA scheduling department. I'm going to read to you their next seven games. Lakers, Rockets, Wolves, Thunder, Warriors, Lakers. Like, if they go 3-4 in that, if I was a Suns fan, I'd be throwing a party.
Wow, that's a gauntlet. That is a gauntlet. They wasn't even trying to mix it up.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if they fell into one of those national schedule cycles where you just so happen to be lined up. It's kind of like the New York teams in every sport, the second half of the season, they're stacked with national games. Depending on how good they are, they're stacked with national games, and it's usually the hardest part of the schedule because the national broadcasts want the big city markets in there. So the Suns, you know, Phoenix is a good middle-sized market, and then on top of that, you're getting these prime games. You're getting the cup games. You're getting the national games, and because NBC is a weekly thing, I think they play tonight, I believe, on NBC, if I'm not
mistaken. I'm pulling up the Suns right now. So they're on Jeff, you freaking nailed it. Peacock tonight at the Lakers, Peacock on Monday at the Wolves, Peacock or Prime Video next Wednesday at the Thunder.
Yeah.
And then is the that's the cup game. That's the cup quarters.
Yep.
Yeah. And by the way, I should have said the reason why they play Oklahoma City upcoming is because that is their cup game. So their schedule did get harder because of the fact that they are in the NBA Cup. So
yeah, and they played the Thunder tough. I can't put them in the diehard tier. Four point loss. That's like
it was a great game.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe like that. I just be real. I don't know if I can believe. I respect what they're doing. And their owner is getting ready for an ultimate block spin if they're even remotely good towards the end of the year. But yeah, they got to be. They're the Cranks tier right now. And that's more so a hedge on a future projection just in case they do bottom out.
All right. One other team I got to ask you if we're putting in the Cranks. I'll leave it for you if you want to nominate someone else. There's only one other team that I would at least like to have a very quick discussion about. And that is the Golden State Warriors.
I had a feeling you were going there.
Because they're 11 and 10. They have a barely positive point differential. Like, I know Steph Curry right now, there's injury stuff going on with him, or there was injury stuff going on with him, and he's like still out. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 days, I think. So, okay. Mm-hmm.
He has a thigh contusion or something, right?
It's a quad, yeah. It's not something you want as a 37-year-old, as I say as a 42-year-old. But like, I don't know. I feel like every time I see this team come up on my feed, it's someone snipping at someone else or making a passive-aggressive comment towards someone else. Like, how am I supposed to take this team seriously?
You know what? You take them seriously because of Jimmy Butler, because of Draymond Green, and because of Steph Curry. If you have the confidence that no matter their age, no matter what the team looks like, you still don't want to see them in a postseason scenario because they have the industry knowledge.
Yeah. And
they have the experience to where they can unk their way through at least one round, especially if they face a young squad.
So to go back to Goodfellas, are we putting them in the diehard tier out of respect? I'm fine. It's your call. I'm gonna defer to you on this
one. Okay. Let me see. They're 11 and 10.
again, they're a game over 500, and I could read you some of the Warriors' losses this season if you really want to hear them.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
So the most recent losses are actually not that bad. They lost to the Rockets, Blazers, okay, Heat, and Magic. They've also lost this season to the Kings, the Pacers, Trailblazers. They've lost to twice. You know, but they've lost to the Nuggets. They've lost to the Thunder. They've had a tough schedule. I will give them that. They have had a tough schedule.
They're in the 20s. They're in the bottom 10 in offense and the top 10 in defense.
You know what? You're right.
If there was a middle tier to this, if there was a tier in between Die Hard.
No, maybe, we're not doing
Die
not
Hard
doing...
with a Vengeance tier. I don't know.
Die Hard with a Vengeance is definitely not a Christmas movie.
Right, exactly. But I think this is one of those funhouse mirror. They're a funhouse mirror team. It's like, okay. Is the reflection actually real that what you're seeing?
Right,
I couldn't be mad at either one based on that. Like,
no, let's move them up. Right. We'll put the Warriors in the diehard tier, which is again the tier where it looks kind of like a contender, but is it really, or is it masquerading as one?
I think that's perfect. I think that's perfect for them right now. Yeah.
I also think it's perfect for the Hawks, who had themselves a, that was a really entertaining game against the Sixers last night. The Trae Young return will happen at some point. I would argue that it is the second most fascinating player return that is impending in the league. I will get to my most fascinating in a bit. But the Hawks are a very good team. And other than this, I would put, so I'm going to save my one team for last for this year. I think Boston has to go here.
Yeah. So, yeah. They've been showing out. They're super resilient, man.
Boston, they have the fourth best offense in the league, which is crazy. They have a good defense, solid defense, not a great defense, but a solid enough defense. Like, it's barely respectable. Jaylen Brown's doing Jaylen Brown things. And they like continue, like if you turn on a Celtics game, the odds are that you will see a close game. Like, they lost to the Timberwolves over the weekend, but that was like a close game throughout. That was in Minnesota. They have wins recently over the Pistons, the Magic, and then yesterday, a team we're going to talk about in a moment, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, I don't know, man. I thought this team was going to pivot into a tank if you would have asked me even a week ago. And now I'm like, they could be a top six seed, you know? So I don't really know where I'm at with Boston.
I like that. Yeah, I think from what I've seen over the past few games, you can see that they still have their championship medal. They still know how to win games. They're good players. Their great players are still great. Their good players are still awesome. They're missing a lot of their core through trade or injury. So now they're finding different ways to win, but they're still playing what is now Celtics basketball. So letting it fly from three, doing all of that type of stuff.
Yeah, they're taking the, and if I looked up this morning, I think they're taking the third most threes in the league. So they're like still doing the things that you know, Boston is good for. Really interesting team. Like, and Joe Mazzulla, he's like not actually going to get any coach of the year love or anything, but like they're doing everything that they could do. And they're not getting to the line at all, which is interesting. Okay. This is where it's going to get tricky. I think Cleveland belongs here. Based on what we have seen thus far this season, I think Cleveland belongs here. I'm just going to read you a couple things real quick. Mm-hmm. So they're 5-6 in their last 11 games. They've lost three straight to the Raptors, Hawks, and then Boston at home. But by the way, that Boston game, they were down by, I want to say 16 or 18 at one point to the Celtics, and they ended up closing the gap. But like, that was not a good showing by Cleveland. The offense, their offense that set the all-time record for best offense in history, is currently ranked 14th. Get back to that in a second. 9th ranked defense. They actually are about the same defensive team as they were last year. Donovan Mitchell has been awesome, and they've been awesome when he's been on the floor. Evan Mobley, less awesome. 37 percentile efficiency for his position. Not great. Mobley and Allen together, they're plus 11 per 100, but those guys only play together for about 15 minutes a game. Clearly, they are moving away from the double big look, even though it has been ostensibly successful this year. Their ideal starting lineup is plus 17.3 per 100, but they've only played together for 98 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the one that jumps out at me. They were number one in the league in effective field goal percentage last year. Currently, they are that number has dropped. They are now in the bottom, or basically a mid-tier team. I think they're 14th. This depends on how you want to see this Cleveland team. Excuse me, they're 16th. You could say they're bored, that they just need to get healthy, and when their starting lineup is healthy and they have Strus back, they're going to be fine. Or I think you could look at this and say there are some underlying issues here and it is a cause for concern.
So a couple of things. If the season ended today, the Knicks and Cavs would meet in the playoffs as a 2-7 wow. matchup. Who would have had that, right? First. And with the Cavs not being the 2 seed. Let me add that. Because I'm sure there's some people who planned for Nick regression and would quote unquote not be surprised, although it should have been shocking, right? That shocks me. I'm a Cleveland truther in the sense that I'm just like, I respect them guys so much for what they do and how they go about their biz. And when I look at it objectively, I say this. We can add the caveats about injury, but the caveats are constants. They get to the postseason and somebody's hurt. Somebody's significantly hurt in a way that impedes their game. That's first off. Then second, Evan and Mobley together. I'm sorry. You're right. Evan and Mobley and Allen, right? Evan as his two persons in one, and Jared Allen, right? Yeah. 11 points per 100 possessions. That's great. There's going to be teams that they cannot run that lineup against.
No.
In their own conference, there's teams that they can't run that lineup against. So what good is that when the money's on the line? And when you mentioned that they might be bored, this was the season where they can't be bored. They were the number one seed and they got knocked out by the Pacers. They've been past the first round once in the Donovan Mitchell era.
They made the second round the last 2 years.
Wait, so the first year they got knocked out. Yo, you know, you're right. Wait.
Yeah, no. So last year they beat, I forget who the hell they beat in the first round. They beat someone in the first round, and then they got knocked out of the Pacers by the Pacers in the
right,
second round.
That's right. That was the second round. And then they went to Orlando.
Before Orlando pushed them to 7 and they beat the Magic in game 7 before they lost to the Celtics in a series that was not that close because they were particularly banged up.
Right. Okay. So I retract that. My bad. They've gotten to the second round in 2 of the 3 years, but then it's at some point, the healthiest they were was for the Knicks in that first round series 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the healthiest they were as the year one team. So they get to a point in the playoffs where somebody's hurt and they run out of gas. Remember the dialogue, John, about the whole they conserved themselves for the postseason and then they got to the postseason and it looked like they were out of shape and then they're hurt.
Well,
so,
their coach,
so for me, it's like
their coach called them out.
Right. Addison called them out about that. Yeah. Like, yo, y'all talking about we conserve your minutes, like, why y'all not ready? So this has been persistent problems that they have had throughout the time with this core four. So if you tell me, Garland Toe will be good. Didn't he come back and then get hurt again?
He did, but he's back now.
Okay.
He's back now, but he's...
Struce is still on the mend, right?
Struce is going to be out for another...
Right, like he broke... I know it's something that's like, see you in February type shit, but my thing is, this has been a constant. So I don't know that all these guys come back and it makes them significantly better. It might bring them back to their, whatever their ceiling is, but at this point, is their ceiling enough?
There's something off with them, and I think it has to do with Mobley. The numbers are not good. He's still a positively impactful player when he's on the court. That's clear, but you watch them, and you watch them in particular on, well, first of all, they go through stretches where they can't stop anyone. but that's a lot of teams. So I'm not even going to get on them about right. that. But on offense, that like unstoppable gear they had, and not only that they had, that they would reach like every game last year, that gear is gone. Like, unless Donovan Mitchell's doing Donovan Mitchell shit, the gear is not there anymore. So
he's
they're
the
going.
Key. He's one of their keys. Like, if he goes out yeah. or he can't be Donovan Mitchell, it's going to be a quick series no matter who they face.
Mitchell's been one of the 10 best players in the league this year. And it hasn't. And the fact that they are still, whatever they are, 12 and 9 and 7th in the East, that's not. That's just not where you want to be. Okay, we got to move on. Any other teams you want to put in this tier? I would nominate Toronto.
Yep.
And then we could start. And then we could finish this off because we'll move on to the next two tiers and kind of we'll talk about them together.
Yeah, we could do that.
The Spurs, do the Spurs belong in this diehard tier, or do they actually belong a tier up from that? And before you answer that question, they're 5-2 without Wemby, 4-2 without Castle. They have not had either Wemby or Castle for the last six games, in case that wasn't clear. They've beaten Sacramento, Memphis, Atlanta, Portland, and Denver. Not a great game for the Nuggets. They've lost to Phoenix and Minnesota. Their next four versus Memphis, and then four straight on the road: Orlando, Cleveland, Pelicans, Lakers. So we're going to learn more about this team in the coming couple of weeks. Wemby is there has not been an update. He was like it's kind of an OG situation. It's like reevaluation, and now we're still waiting and seeing. I don't know that I could put them in the higher tier quite yet, and that may be disrespectful, but I don't think I'm there. Quite yet.
I will say they gotta be diehard only because I don't know if Wemby's going to be there at the end of the season.
Oh, that's
and I hate it.
If you're
a fan of basketball, you want him to be healthy. You want to see him in a playoff setting. You don't want anything else to pop up. But once again, this is a persistent problem that he has had.
We're getting. He's not in the Anthony Davis zone where the if he's healthy has to be attached to his name, but we are speeding down that freeway and we are approaching that exit. And I hope we avoid it.
So, John, there's a possibility that he could be dubbed the greatest player of his generation without accolades because he may not play the 65 required games.
Yeah.
And that's for the duration of the next 10 years.
No, it's wild
which is
stuff.
Wild.
I mean, look, I don't know. Maybe they figure it out as an organization, but
we'll
see. Okay, here are the teams that we have left in no particular. I'm going to, in rising order from lowest net rating to highest, the Lakers, the Wolves, the Heat, the Magic, the Pistons, the Knicks, the Nuggets, the Rockets, and the Thunder. Very couple of quick notes about some of those teams. Minnesota, congratulations. You finally beat a winning team. Nice job by you. Orlando, since Paolo went out, and I'm including the Knicks game that he only played 12 minutes again in, Jeff, they are 7-2, plus 11 net rating, third best in the NBA over that stretch. Top five offense, fifth best offense, sixth best defense in that stretch of time. They've beaten the Knicks twice. They've beaten the Pistons. They've beaten the Warriors. They've beaten the Sixers, the Clippers, and the Nets. They lost in overtime to the Rockets in what was a great game. And then they lost to Boston in a game where the Celtics shot 60% from the field. There's no question that Orlando is in this the Christmas vacation tier, the contenders tier for me. At this point, I'm just wondering if they're still going to be here next time we do this after Paolo comes back. I just
so crazy,
dude. I just don't know what you make. You watch the games; they make so much sense as a basketball team right now. And I don't want to belabor the point. We talked about it on here before, but like this should be the biggest one of the biggest stories in the NBA right now.
Yeah,
they're playing out of their minds.
When Trey and Paolo come back, their team is going to be monitored so closely.
It's going to be must every game
to see what we get.
It's going to be must watch. I cannot wait to watch those. I hope they're not on at the same time because I want to watch those games. So, Naomi, here's what I want to do. I want to move all of the teams remaining into the vacation tier, with the exception of the Thunder. The Thunder, I created the Home Alone tier for the Thunder. So they're going to go up there. My question for you, Jeff, and this is the last question of our show, as Naomi puts all of the other teams into the Christmas vacation contenders tier. Do the Houston Rockets, so if you want to leave Houston on the bottom for until the end, do the Houston Rockets deserve to be in the Home Alone tier? And before you answer, I will give you our last set of statistics of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets have the second best offense in the league and the second best defense in the league. The defense is not surprising. We all knew the Rockets' defense was going to be awesome. Their offense, they are middle of the pack, 15th in effective field goal percentage. It's fine. They're 8th in free throw rate. It's good. It's very good. It's not great. And they turn the ball over quite a bit. They're 19th in offensive turnover percentage. So how, you might ask, is a team that is like mediocre to decent in three of the major four categories of offense, how do they have the second best offense in the league? It's not that they have the best offensive rebound rate in the league. Everybody's talked about that. They have Steven Adams. They have Clint Capella. They crash the glass. They're massive. The whole thing. The gap between the Rockets and the next best offensive rebounding team in the league is the same as the gap between the number two offensive rebounding team in the league and the number 12 offensive rebounding team in the league. They are offensive rebounding the basketball at a rate that we have never seen any other team do in the history of the league relative to competition. And it is so good that that single thing, just getting more bites at the apple and so many more bites at the apple than every other team they play, that it's single-handedly propping their offense up to, again, the second best offense in the freaking league. So I ask you, should the Rockets be in the top tier with Oklahoma City?
I'm going to say no, because before we got on and the tiers were absent Home Alone, I was going to say that the Thunder should be in the Home Alone tier. Like, I literally was saving it. And then when I saw the tiers pop up and you had Home Alone, I started laughing because I said, there's only one that's okay. Alone. That's okay. Why it's the Home Alone tier. They are alone. They are they're undefeated at home. They've only lost one game. And oh yeah, J-Dub is back. They look like hellhounds. Hellhounds on defense. Their defense, you want to talk about ratings, look at their defensive rating and then look at the next one after that.
And again, if you want to talk about gaps, the gap between them is on cleaning the glass. Gap between them and the second place Rockets is the same as the gap between the Rockets and the, hold on one sec, I have to scroll down quite a bit for this, the 19th place Sixers.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous, bro. Ridiculous. Like, my first thought about the Rockets is do not acquire Mitchell Robinson, because they won't lose. you will never get a rebound again. If they acquire Mitchell Robinson, you will never get a rebound on that team again.
They would actually rebound more than half of their own misses if they
that's playing with your little brother in the backyard. Yeah. I'm playing with your older brother or in the backyard. But yeah, man, yo, you want to talk about a team that's not bored? Their level of boredom is even scarier than what anyone could imagine. They are the Death Star, man. They're the Death Star. Like, it's. I think at this point the only team that could stop them is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, so their next bunch of games here, like, I don't know, find the loss. At Golden State, Dallas at home, at Utah, Phoenix at home, Clippers at home. I mean, at Minnesota, I mean, could you imagine if they go into Minnesota and they are, what would that be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're 25-1. That's on the table. I don't know what we're supposed to do. Like,
at Utah is the one I'm circling.
Oh, really?
Maybe altitude can beat the Thunder.
I mean, it's not Denver, but it's, you know, yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, the date that every NBA fan should circle on their calendars is January 15th. That's OKC at Houston. That's like,
right. You know, and this is not counting cup games.
No, the cup, the cup. So their cup game
is against the Suns, right?
Is against the Suns on December 10th. And we don't know. Assuming they win that, we don't know who their next
opponent. It's either the Lakers or.
Lakers or the. Is it the Spurs?
I think it is the Spurs.
It might be the Spurs, which is funny. I'll double check that, which is funny because the Spurs, they actually play, the Thunder play the Spurs back to back on December 23rd, and then that's the Christmas game.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so they might play. Yeah, it's December 10th against the Lakers. You're damn right about that. Okay, good call by you. Good, look at you knowing the NBA Cup. all right, Naomi, for posterity's sake, we will put the Thunder in the Home Alone tier because they are indeed home alone. Put him right next to Mr. McAllister. There we go. Yep. All right. Take a screenshot of that baby because we'll tweet it out for anyone who, is only listening and is curious what the whole picture looks like. I want to, get us out of here cause we've already gone over time. Naomi, oh, can I pop you up here? Naomi's lights went out before. So I don't know if she's in a place where she's able to hop up on screen. Cause I only have one question that I want to ask Naomi. Okay, here we go. Hi, Naomi. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
So it is my understanding that you have never seen Die Hard. Is that correct?
I haven't. I've only seen Home Alone on that list.
Okay. Jeff, what level of plans do you think like Naomi should cancel like today, tomorrow to just sit at home and watch Die Hard? Are we canceling like a doctor's appointment? Are we canceling like dinner with friends? How important
is a very busy person? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I would say? If you're watching something on streaming tonight, like it's like, all right, it's on demand. It's already there. You could take the 2 hours and watch Die Hard. I think you'll enjoy it.
Something convenient, something easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would definitely say. If your Monday is going to be spent watching something anyway, watch Die Hard and save whatever series for later on.
So it does not rise to the level of like, oh my God, you have not seen this movie. You need to stop what you're doing and go watch it.
No, I can say that, but then I'm also pragmatic about people's time. Like I already know, like, should you cancel plans with your friends to see Die Hard? It depends on the plan. See, we can go down a crazy rabbit hole with plans and stuff. That's why I'm just keeping it top level. If you're going out today and it's not like it's a one-off, like you're seeing friends that are in town and blah, 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 I wouldn't do that.
All right.
If it's something that you do regularly that you're going to do again, yeah, you could cancel that. But if you're going to be home anyway, definitely lock in and watch it.
Let's compromise with this. The next open spot you have on your schedule where you want to sit down and watch something, watch Die Hard.
For sure.
Okay, will do. I'll add it to the calendar.
It is vital.
You like action movies?
Kind of.
It's good for people who aren't like, it's not like heavy, 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 but there's enough drama and intrigue for you to be locked in.
I'll just say, again, I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to this stuff. The last 38 years of American action movies, 37 years of American action movies are the way they are because of Die Hard. It literally set the template for American action movies, and they have not changed the template because you know why? Because it is a perfect template. And it's a Christmas movie on top of that.
Sounds perfect.
Naomi, you were awesome today. Any thoughts before we get out of here as you watched from backstage this whole time?
No, I love it. I don't know if I'd put the Celtics so low, but I'm just a little biased.
Are you a Celtics fan?
I am a Celtics fan.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The Wizards.
You want to talk about not having bias. John is not a biased person.
Yeah.
Maybe hiring Celtics fans to
I am not biased.
NBA takedown, I'm telling you.
A Celtics fan and a Bulls fan. Those are our two interns here.
Well, at least y'all are in the East.
Yeah. No, at
least I appreciate that.
You know what, Naomi? I respect that. I think the Celtics, if you wanted to make an argument for them to be in the higher tier, they've played very well, and we will find out a lot more about the Celtics
tomorrow, right? Tomorrow? Because they play the Knicks tomorrow night. So there you go.
In Boston.
All right. That's it. Jeff, anything we forgot before we get out of here?
No, I think this is an excellent exercise. I just like Naomi brought up a great point. You can debate a few of those teams on the list. I feel like the struggle bus division is kind of locked in. There's no more seats, but I think there are a few teams. And this is also a point in time list. It's not a projection. Maybe a little projection in there, but it's a point in time.
Yeah,
they have enough. All these teams have enough time to rise and fall. I hope the Thunder can fall because I'd like to have some type of belief that everybody else has a chance. I'd love for them to fall. You know, man. What I mean? Just for the sake of our own rooting interest. But at the same time, it's good to have a North Star to aspire to beat.
No, because right now, I mean, it's not a Christmas movie because it doesn't take place during Christmas time. But right now, the Thunder are Titanic going into the Academy Awards, where it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, it's over as of right now. last thing I will say before I get out of here, I want to give some shout outs to the people who are watching and chatting along in the YouTube. Bronx Rivera, Chumpa Loomps. That's a great name. JG, my guy, Ben Kim Gervey, Mr. McBagels, and who else we got? Jay Rose. Shout out to all y'all in the YouTube chat. If you're listening to this, please subscribe to the NBA Takedown YouTube channel and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We're putting out some social clips from this episode too, some bonus social stuff too. I did a little Chris Paul video. What was it, like a week ago? I'm going to try to do some more of that stuff. But on behalf of Naomi and Jeff, I am Jonathan Macri, and we will see you with more fun and games on Wednesday at noon. Peace out.